welcome, my friends, to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I had a celebrity guest appearance today, the one to make a statement. Stetson's on set, jamming around everything. So you want to say, hey, look at the camera right there, say hi. You don't know what to look at all these cameras, do you? All right, let me come grab real quick. I hope you guys had a fantastic weekend, and he's going to go back off to running around the yard and doing whatever he's going to do right now. I hope you guys are having a good time, staying strong and healthy.
I can't say anything, Austin, because I was on the seminar circuit. Oh. I'd drag you up on the platform in front of 40,000 people.
Yes. It's a good time. He's a good kid. He's about to turn two here in 2 weeks. So, make sure you guys are checking out a lot of the bestsellers that we have on the website. We've been updating that page a little bit. Got some more reviews updated. Top kit products like the B-Complex, the Vitamin C, the Magnesium Brain Food, the GHI, the Ultimate Multiple. Some of our heavy hitters that really, really work fast and you can feel them, including the Fit Food Protein with the Purple Sticks. That's a staple usually every morning I'll have that, or the GHI Cleanse, and or both. So be sure to check them out on a lot of different stuff. And on the podcast, there's a video of me and Dad. I'm watching me and Dad the other day. I had it pulled up. Still up there. But a lot of the podcast videos on here you can check out every single day. They're updated, including on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Gab, Spotify, and Rumble. And be sure, the news button. I actually got three people send me emails on that the other day. They want a little more clarification on that.
On the news thing.
They liked it. So as far as me breaking it down, how to get the daily active news articles here on thebrowershow.com.
That started us. So go from the very beginning.
Can we do it again?
No, I mean from Google. I mean all the way back for DuckDuckGo or whatever you're using.
Okay. I usually use DuckDuckGo. I'll just put it on Google real quick just to make it
easier. Okay, here we go. Now, this is you turn your computer on. Here it is. There's nothing on the screen besides Google or DuckDuckGo. And okay, give me a camera, somebody.
I think he's on camera four.
He's on screen in front.
Okay, four. All right. Okay. So we're on four. You go to Health Masters.
Yep.
Easy. Boom. You're at Health Masters. You're at the page. You go up to the top button right here. Podcast.
All of our news stories. You know, it says articles here, but that's not the news.
That's our
we've written
our health articles.
Yeah. So you go to the now we have taken all of the news articles and we have put them with the podcast and not on the Health Master site. So go to podcast.
There we go. Podcast.
Boom. And right up on top. Now here's the podcast that it says news, and that's the news that we cover on that on the show every day.
Daily news, right there.
Click on boom, and now click on Sunday. And we get this news is fed. This feed is 7 days a week, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
And now here's let me just cover the news. This is a likely Zionist planet hyperbole. Hundreds of Iranian protesters feared killed. U.S. considers military strike.
I saw that.
No, here's the thing. Now stay. Give me camera, Rich. There you go. I'm just going to cover this real quick. Nothing that they're telling us about what's happening in Iran is probably true.
No, I don't believe so.
Okay? They have to have a precipitating incident for us to go in and say out of a humanitarian mission to do a precipitating thing to basically stop the overwhelming rise of the people in Iran. They're saying hundreds of people are now being killed in Iran, so we have to go in there now and bomb the country and take it over and put it in a central bank.
Do that again with Gaza.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. We didn't do that with Gaza. We allowed almost 100,000 people to be already killed.
Jeff Francis, 250,000. And the crazy part about this is it's not stopping with Gaza. The ceasefire has ended.
Anyways, back to the news.
I want to cover that real quick.
There's a lot of articles on
these. All the articles that I posted over the weekend.
Yep.
On the subject, lest you think that I don't work on the weekends. I do.
We all know we do stuff on the weekends on here.
This is part of what it is.
Now, there's one thing that I actually popped up, and I don't know if this is going to go through, but it really needs to go through, because right now the level of interest that the banks are making is unprecedented right now. And Trump's called on Congress, and apparently they're having some congressional meeting that they're going to try to push this through here very shortly. They said they're going to put a temporary 10% cap on credit cards.
They need to make a permanent cap on
credit
cards.
They said the credit cards are essentially ruin the economy right now, and that's not necessarily the top tier, but a lot of people have now finally admitted and addressed the fact that the credit cards are just turned into massive just draws out of the United States. I pulled up an article here earlier, and it said in 2024, just between interest and fees, the credit card companies made $254 billion. That's a quarter of a trillion dollars in interest just in 1 year, just off credit cards. That's not car loans. That's not mortgages. That's not any type of flipping. That's just straight credit cards. And what they're bringing up here in this article here is, and that's why I want to address this, they said the affordability effective January 20th, 2026, the President of the United States is calling for the credit card interest rates of 10%. They're basically having a congressional hearing on this. They said this 20 to 30% credit card fees has to stop because it's not even based on credit worthiness. You got people that have 700, 800 Beacon scores, and if you don't pay your credit card, if you look at the statement on it, it still tries to hit you with like 29%.
Mm-hmm.
You look at it. There's one where we looked at it. We had a business card, and we had a big, you know, bunch of inventory we had to put on it. And it shows on the thing, if you pay just the minimum payment on this, it was going to take like 25 years, and we're going to pay like four times the amount of money. So $50,000 in inventory, we're going to pay like $200,000 on the credit card, and it was going to take us like 25 years to pay it off. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Because
we chose to say no.
It was pay it off and deal with it and pay off the inventory, but it was like on 29% interest if you didn't pay it off in 1 month, and it continued to roll. And this is what they're bringing this up.
What they're doing here, and the reason they do this is because of they consider quote credit worthiness. Well, that's a lie.
That's exactly
it's how much can we basically gouge that of that consumer who's desperate for money, desperate for a loan? How much can we
or
gouge
use it for a business? Or try to operate a business.
Well, the problem is a lot of people get into a situation where they start having cash flow problems. In some cases, they'll sell off their assets in order to maintain the business. I know there's one company that I know of. They sold half of their doggone plant and equipment just to try to pay the credit card bills 1 month, or they'll sell off parts of their property. They'll do anything they have to raise funds rather than paying this 30%. And so sometimes in business, you have it cycles. It goes up and down. Sometimes you have peak sales. Sometimes you have low sales. Sometimes you have peak sales. Sometimes you have low sales. And so what you have to do is maintain some kind of stable cash flow. What the IRS used to let you do, they called income averaging. You could actually take the income from 1 year and average it against the next year to maintain adequate cash flow. They don't do that anymore. They make you pay it basically on what they feel you should be paying quarterly. And if you don't pay it's unbelievable. If you don't pay what you're supposed to pay, if you have a bad quarter, they expect you to strip the account of cash to pay what you're supposed to pay from last year. And if you don't, you get penalized. It's horrible what they do. And in business, you always have cycles. It's just how it works. And the part about this is that if a person's a consumer, they also have cycles. They may have a job. They may not have a job. They may have a credit card that basically they can't pay, or they may have a hospital bill they can't pay. And so you're up and down all the time with destabilized cash flow. And what these credit card companies do, they're predators is what they are.
Exactly what they are.
They'll go to somebody who has an 800 Beacon score. And the person's doing great financially. Well, they're still charging. Like Austin said, if you don't make the full payment, it's still 29%.
Yeah.
You know, they've got an 800 Beacon score, and it's still – so when they lie to you and say, oh, this is about the people who don't pay their credit have a bad Beacon score. No, it's not. They want the people who have an 800 credit score not to pay their bill every month, because if they do, they get to tag them for 30% interest. Now, the problem, a few years ago, I was watching this show when I still had cable, and they were talking about people who use credit cards for their own material gain. You said, what does that mean? Well, we're talking about like hotel cards and airplane cards, airline cards like American Airlines or Marriott cards. You go in, you basically you pay your bill off every month, and you accrue hotel points, or you accrue American Airlines points, which lets you fly free and stay free if you use those cards. But the caveat is this, and if you've got sense as a business owner, you've got to do this. You've got to pay that card off every month.
Yes.
Otherwise, if you have a $50,000 card, you're a business owner, and you charge that card up, and also now you're paying $3,000 or $4,000 in 1 month for interest, you didn't get any kind of benefit. Now, so now you get a 50,000 points on your American Airlines card, but it lets you book a flight. You could have bought the flight for less of the interest you paid. So it doesn't work. So they were calling the people who were basically paying their cards off every month parasites. That we were using their system that they had built to enslave the masses.
To make $254 billion in interest last year alone, just off credit cards. It was crazy. I have to admit, Bernie Sanders is spot on this. He said this in this bipartisan legislation that they're calling to rent limit at 10% for 5 years. He said when large financial institutions charge over 25% interest on credit cards, they are not engaged in the business of making credit available. They're engaged in extortion and loan sharking.
Usury.
We cannot continue to allow big banks to make huge profits ripping off American people, and that's exactly what Jesus Christ called out as a den of thieves, a brood of vipers in the temple because they were engaged in money magic and usury and unjust scales. And that's exactly what they do now with these cards. So I want to cover that today because that's actually something that needs to get addressed right now because most people aren't talking about that at all right now.
The key is if you can't pay that credit card off at the end of the month, unless it's an emergency and you're going to do it short term wise, don't use it. You know, I was in the mall walking around yesterday and there was a big sign up that a lot of women believe, and it was just like a pun, a lot of women believe if they pay fake cash for something, it's free.
I've heard it. It's called, was it girl math?
Girl math, that's what it's called. If they pay cash for it, it's free. In other words, they don't have to make payments.
Right, exactly. Okay?
And so and the reality is, it's not free, but it's at a big discount with cash.
It's 30% interest.
Well,
yeah.
Ladies, I'm not picking on you. Some guys are just as bad. You know, some guys have to have that new gun every month or whatever. But you got to buy that new Louis Vuitton purse, and you got to go spend $2,000 so you can carry your pet around in a Louis Vuitton purse. And you start thinking to yourself, oh, I've got to have it. I'm going to pay the $30 or $40 a month in interest on this. Well, 4 years later, you've been paying interest for 4 years. Well, you've already paid for the purse.
Yes, exactly right.
You know, and you paid for the interest, and you've doubled the cost of the purse to carry the dog around. You think, well, you're being silly. It's just a dog. I've seen people with baby carriages with dogs.
With fans.
And the dogs are dressed in little cute outfits. And you're like, all right, this is just crazy. But a lot of people see their dogs as their kids. So I'm not picking on women. Guys can have a new bowling ball or a new Glock.
The new Glock Gen 6. I actually got to play with the new Gen 6 the other day.
How was that?
It's pretty cool, man.
How'd the trigger feel?
Trigger felt better, still Glocky.
They're still heavy.
Grip's good. Ergonomics are good on it.
Is the trigger still the safety?
Oh, yeah. They ain't changing that. They were going to change it so the criminals out in California couldn't turn a machine pistol. No. I asked the guy at the shop at Leadfeather over in Winter Haven, great guys over there. I said, did they change? He said, no, they didn't change it. I said, they changed it so it's not the same function. He goes, but the SOT2 manufacturers, he goes, the guys that are legally, they have already figured out how to turn this into machine guns, SOT2s. I was like, of course they did. I love Glock. But they did have it's real nice stippling. It's really good if you're wearing gloves. It's going to stick to your hand really good.
But if you buy one, pay cash for it. Don't be putting it on a credit card.
Yeah.
Look, you've already got 10 Glocks. You've already got them. Okay? You got one laying on the counter, so you have one.
You got one underneath the table right now on the show.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
I can reach over here and pull up a Glock, but I'm not going to do that because I'll be, oh, he's one of those. But you got a Glock for every day of the week. You got this Glock, you got that Glock. You got them on the counter. You don't need another Glock on a credit card. Just like your wife doesn't need a new Louis Vuitton purse or a new Coach purse or any. If you're in debt on credit cards, do your best just to pay this stuff off and be done with it. Never buy something you don't need with money you don't have to impress somebody you don't know. Don't do it. It's just not worth it. And that's the key, is staying out of debt. Because once these guys get out, and the Fed is great. The Fed has this big, huge building in D.C. It was built 100 years ago. And they basically petitioned Congress to give them billions of dollars to renovate it. Billions to renovate the building. And
well, who's paying for it?
Oh, of course, the American taxpayer. The crazy part is already $700,000 over cost. So Trump is that.
$700 million.
So Trump is going in now and finally having an investigation that you've done against Jerome Powell.
I saw this. Yeah. They go full criminal investigation.
Because they're saying he's over allocated the cost. And they're saying he's putting in new elevators. Well, he actually is keeping the old elevators. And honestly, if you've got an elevator that's 100 years old, you probably need to replace it.
Can anybody understand how much money the Federal Reserve profits off the interest, off the money that they loan the United States?
But, you know,
but we're paying.
They want.
Oh gosh!
Okay,
jury. But
what they want to do? They want to force you and me, which they've done now, to pay for their renovations when they're the ones who take the money and control it. They've got trillions of dollars, but yet we've got to pay for their building to get renovated.
Let me clarify this. Everybody hasn't figured this out yet. The Federal Reserve is associated with the federal government about as much as FedEx is.
That's right.
They're completely independent. They do anything they want.
They do.
They are not the federal government. They're a private banking.
They named it Federal Reserve to confuse everybody.
I get so irritated. People go, no, they need it. I'm like, no, they need to come out of their own coffers. They can pay for their own renovation if they want. We don't need more debt.
Oh, speaking about real money, let's talk about silver for a second.
Oh, yeah, I was going to get into that.
The world's top silver producers, and it talks about who they are. It goes into detail who they are, but that's not why I'm reading this. Let me show you what this says. Mexico leads a global silver production, despite holding just 6% of the world's known reserves because of the amount of mining they do. The Silver Institute projected that the silver market would end in another deficit for the fifth consecutive year in 2025, with a cumulative deficit, that deficit now reaching 820 million ounces.
Deficit?
Over the last 10 years. Yeah, they basically, you know, actually 5 years, they've produced 820 million ounces of deficit. In other words, we're way short on the silver market, hence the cost is going way up again. And you start to realize that, you know, we only produce about, you know, 3,100 metric tons from Peru and China, about 3,300 metric tons. And these are the top producers. And we're over 820 million ounces of deficit. You never realize how long it's going to take to make that deficit up.
That's a big number. I mean, well, that hints why we're doing it. We hit 85.75 today. We had another all-time world high on silver, 85.75 an ounce about an hour ago. Look at this right here. I want you to look at this number. On a one-year performance, 181%.
I've got a friend of mine.
That's crazy.
I have a friend of mine. He used to work out with me for years. And about 20 years ago, 25 years ago, he came over here to work out. This is back around 2000. And we'll call him Joe. It's not Joe, but we'll call him Joe because he'd have a conniption fit if I doubted him on this. And he had taken millions of dollars of real estate and converted it to silver. Now I'm talking millions. And, you know,
silver's cheap.
Well, silver was cheap. And then he basically, in 2008, he was so smart, he bought a bunch of real estate again at a big discount, sold it all again, and put millions more in silver. And I talked to him about this weekend, and I said, apparently your silver assets have done well. And he started going, well, yes, they've done well. And I thought to myself, I kind of laughed because he had huge amounts of it. And he stored it all.
Yeah, I'll give him credit. He was before his time on that.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of laughed at him when he did. It was 10 bucks an ounce. And he's like,
oh, 10 when he starts storing it. But the crazy part about it is I told him, I said, man, you were ahead of your time on this. And he goes, well, I am shocked that it took this long.
I am too, honestly.
Yeah. And he said, but again, when you're 825 million ounces in the negative right now, I mean, unbelievable how this stuff has just been not. And well, the problem are, and we talked about this with the COMEX out in the naked shorts. They would sell. They didn't have the silver to sell, but they would do it. They do a short, which means they're expecting the price to go down, and they would do it on purpose because they could fill the contract in money and paper, and not silver. And so they'd do a naked short of 100 million ounces in one day, and just keep it there. And they would fill all the contracts in paper. And what that did, that made people say, well, silver's going to go down. It's going to go down. It's going to go down. And it suppressed.
Manipulated the heck out of it.
It suppressed the price of silver for decades. And so now all of a sudden, they're realizing they can't suppress it anymore. So they're letting it free float a little bit. They're still running shorts on it. The sad part about this is that if you understand how difficult it is to mine silver or gold or lead or anything, it becomes more complicated when you have these huge deficits. But now because all of this silver's going through the roof, these mines that are producing silver all over the world, they're going to really ramp up production, Austin. But 820 million, whatever, below 820 million ounces, it's going to be a minute to bring this stuff back up to par.
Oh, it's going to be. And the problem with it is I don't think they're going to be able to meet demand because of how much being used right now in these AI data centers. I covered that for months now, and everybody's starting to actually bring this up in alt media because nobody's addressed this. Because I talked to a guy that basically works for one of the top electrical companies in Orlando. I told you this. I'm good friends with him. And he was doing a bid out for one of the big AI data centers over in Lakeland. And he said the amount of metals, of precious metals between copper and silver, they were actually having to factor in enormous amount of 24-hour security for the AI data center into the bid to make sure everything was safe. Because when you start dropping off these massive cables and these massive systems and these massive, basically, platforms that have all this metal in them, dude, when you're talking about silver's at $85 an ounce, it doesn't take that much time as far as to grab a few pieces that it starts acting an enormous amount of money. Back in the Denver, when platinum went through the roof, which, by the way, platinum did amazingly again. It's gone through the roof again. When people were cutting catalytic converters off cars, they were stealing them all the time.
What do you think about, what is that, 500 ounces in a monster box with silver? You know,
yeah.
Now it's at $80 an ounce. What's that, $40,000 for a monster box?
It's like 42 for a monster box, say 43, yeah.
So if you got a monster box sitting around the house, which is a lot of silver, you somebody can grab it and run off with it? I mean, that's a lot of cash.
47 now.
47,000.
They're 47,000 for a monster box.
47,000.
And that thing was AI data centers with these big server systems, these platforms. They use a super large amount of silver. And so his contractors are like, we're not talking about $9 an ounce again, $10 an ounce. You leave it on a job site, maybe get away with it. We're talking about hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars in one drop off of precious metals.
Well, you remember years ago, we had that friend of yours that was building that big home with copper gutters.
Copper gutters.
100% copper gutters and downspouts. He liked it when they became patina and kind of turned green, so he wanted to have his whole house like that.
Yeah.
I mean, all the flashing.
It was beautiful.
All the flashing on the house was pure copper. All the gutters were pure copper, everything. And he had it inside under lock
locked
key.
Up in another room, locked
and,
up.
And I asked him about, so you're keeping that copper. Inside. Oh yeah, that'll disappear one night.
Clean. It was all clean coppers. It was all gutter copper. There's no stripping it.
No,
there's all hands.
Big sheets of it.
Yeah.
So that was crazy. Oh, by the way, article just came out and kind of news flash. And this lady's doing it, and it sounds like she's out of Ireland. And she goes, "Men and women are not the same."
Oh my gosh! Revelation.
Well, no, she's actually pretty sharp about this. I'm going to post this. She said basically women have different hormonal cycles every month, in case you hadn't noticed. She goes, and men are like on a 24-hour cycle. Women are on a 28-day cycle. She goes, you know, men are the ones who primarily build the cars and build the houses and build everything, in case you ladies haven't noticed that. She's talking to her other women, and she goes, and women need more sleep. Women need different nutrients. And she starts going into detail about this, and she goes, why do they want us to believe we're all the same? Because we're not.
Women can build a child.
Unbelievable. It's crazy.
When you actually think about the physiology of that, build another human being.
No,
it's insane.
No,
everybody's got their own perks and benefits. Men have a ton of stuff they do. Women have stuff but we're not the same.
No, and that's what these liberals are trying to do. They're trying to say we're all the same. We're not the same. We're different. You know, a woman is primarily a right brain dominated hemisphere. A man is primarily a left brain dominated hemisphere. When you put a man and a woman together, they get married. You got a complete brain. Is that kind of hard? Is that too racist or too sexist to say? We need each other. We really do. We work together as a team. If you're giving, if you're reciprocal with your wife, you're giving, or your girlfriend, you're 100% in both directions. You know, in other words, you give her 100%, she gives you 100%, and it turns into this synergistic effect, and it makes this incredibly powerful unit. That's what they don't want us to have. The same thing was true with Christianity. You know, cord is three strands, not easily broken. You know, you got a man, you got a wife, and you got the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden now you've got a group of, you got three entities together that create this incredibly strong rope. People need to understand that it's all about working together as a team. And I like the fact that she said this because, you know, they're trying to separate men and separate women as basically, you know, being equal but being the same and all this other stuff. It's not true. Neither one of us are the same, in case you hadn't noticed. And quite frankly, if we work together as a team, we're much better and much more effective unit. Oh, by the way, more than 1,000 ICE protests now are out because they shot this woman, this lesbian up in Minnesota. And now they're having tens of thousands of ICE, you know, people coming together this past weekend for basically, you know, how would you say it? You know, just giants, you know. Fights and they want to try to start, and they're coming out and they're telling each other to get armed and get ready to start killing ICE agents. This is George Floyd on
George Floyd 2.0. This is BLM. This is Antifa.
Remember,
this is 2020 over again.
This thing with George Floyd occurred just a few miles from here, same place. And people need to realize that the people in Minnesota, for some reason, I don't know what's wrong with you guys because you're primarily German and, you know, Scandinavian when you got here. What the heck happened? Who dropped you on your head, by the way? Why are you so liberal?
It's not just that. You get a lot of the useful idiots that are up there, but you got to understand a lot of these individuals are paid provocateurs from out of town.
That's true.
We saw this with BLM. We saw this with Antifa. We saw this with the riots. And a lot of these cases, these groups that we tied them back into George Soros. We tied them back into USA.
That's
Rothschild. We tied them back with all this cash that was tying back into these groups and funding them. Is they find little pockets, little hot pockets. And when stuff happens, they funnel people there. You know, that the lady that got shot in the face with ICE, she lived 5 hours away from the area.
Oh, I didn't know that.
5 hours away. Oh, yeah. I pulled a whole thing up on it. All this stuff's coming out about it now. She'd been there for over an entire week being a pretty much a provocateur now.
Well, they said that she had just dropped her kids off to school, or that's her husband dropping the kids off to school.
There's a whole lot of stuff that's total BS about this story with her. Her and her girlfriend, her and her wife, whatever, basically, in my opinion, from what we're starting to see now, I don't know where they were getting all their money from to go on vacations all the time to go to basically these sites.
Well, they're millionaires now based upon
Yeah. Now, suddenly, she's got $1.5 million in donations almost overnight. The wife does now. Now, granted, was that organic money? I don't know. I don't quite frankly care. You know, I've seen the videos on it. I don't think she should have been killed, but I also don't think she should have been anywhere near acting in the capacity that she was. When you have somebody that they're pretty much their job has been for the last week to go around and start fights, go around and start conflicts, go around and cause instigations, what do you think is going to happen eventually? You're doing it with federal agents that are armed. Newsflash, that's probably not a good look. That's like seeing a Delta team coming in for a raid. You go, you know what? I don't like Delta. Those tier one operators, they operate too fast. I'm going to get involved in what they're doing. You're going to get shot in the face. I promise you. It's going to happen faster than you think it is. You know, I wanted the article on Zero Hedge with one of the guys from down there in Venezuela, one of the security guards. He was talking about the operators that came in, allegedly with Maduro. He said they came in so fast they couldn't do anything about it.
They called them super soldiers.
Right. And this thing, I've watched Rangers operate. I've been around some of the teams. And when you get around some of these guys, they operate on a level of unity that's you can't even imagine when you actually see it. They'll go in and they'll do shoot houses hundreds of times every single day, all day long.
Explain to me what you mean. They built shoot houses.
They do this all the time. This isn't just with this raid.
So they built this palace.
They will build. So on a lot of these off bases over here, off some of the military bases, some off bases, their contractor property, they'll go in and they will build a full size direct replica of whatever area they're going to raid. They do this all the time. They've done this for years, and they will build everything. I'm talking foot for foot, an entire compound from start to finish. So they will come in, they will drop off Black Ops, they'll rappel in. They'll have Overwatch, and they will do this every single day training, and they will do the full operation, the full op that they're going to conduct, and they will do it every day, all day, multiple times a day, until they can literally do it pretty much with their eyes closed. And then they'll do it at night. They'll do it under NOGs with IR, where they're wearing night vision. They got IR lasers with Overwatch, and they will do it until there's not a single mistake with the entire operation. So when they go and operate, it's not even hard. They already know what's coming in. They know their Overwatch. They know their drones. They know their F-35s. They know their movement. They know this. They know all the targets. And that's how they move so fast. So when you sit in Delta, just get out of the way.
Well, you know, it's funny. When I bought my plane, I bought a Cessna 210. Now, yeah. For those of you guys who are in aviation, that's a nice aircraft with retractable gear on it. And I remember I was learning to fly the plane because I figured if I was going to fly a plane, I might as well get training on the plane I was going to have.
Yeah.
And, you know, the plane wasn't very expensive, but it was a nice aircraft. It was quick and it had retractable gear. And I remember one time I went out and I remember I did 15 or 20 landings in one day.
There you go. Yeah.
And I was actually cycling my gear. I was actually putting the gear up, putting the gear down, getting prepared, getting so I had the memory, you know, muscle memory to run all the switches. And it was funny. I talked to one of my mechanics named Brian. He goes, well, you've got the thing figured out as far as dropping the gear and putting the gear up. He goes, why don't you just leave the gear down?
Yeah.
So you're not cycling and cycling and cycling, putting all that wear and tear on the pistons and the operators and the motors and the hydraulics. I said, okay, that's a good idea. That's what I would do. I just leave the gear down the whole cycle. But then I continue to work on that and work on that and work on that and work on that. And that's exactly what these guys do.
That's what they do.
And once you get it to a point where it becomes second nature to you, I mean, I would go down the – this sounds silly. Don't judge me for this. Don't get weird on me because this is pretty weird that I'm even doing this or did this. I would – in my mind, I would do like they do with the Olympic athletes. I would prepare for a landing in my car or my truck when I'm driving.
Yeah,
and I'm going down the highway at 70-80 miles an hour, and I'm slowing down. Okay, I'm going to drop the gear. Okay, I'm dropping my flaps. I'm at 10%. I'm talking to myself doing this, and you know, now if I have a passenger in the car, they think I'm probably lost it here. So I'm landing a truck, but the reality is, it was muscle memory. It was memory, and you start to realize after a while that gets burned into your synaptic function, and you don't forget it. That's why when I had an emergency landing with Austin and Sharon on the plane.
Yep.
It didn't do anything to me. It didn't even faze me. I didn't get nervous. I didn't start shaking. I didn't start crying. I didn't start screaming. And Austin said, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm just going to land the plane. I said, I practiced this 1,000 times. I said, I can do this on my sleep. And I did. And the thing about it is that you don't realize that if you have that type of training going in behind you, you're prepared for this.
You are.
And this is the problem that I had with the DEI, with the pilots.
Yeah.
You get a pilot who's not trained properly, who's not emotionally stable enough to basically land an aircraft under duress, and basically he's up in the front seat screaming and yelling, and he's scared out of his mind. Well, what are the people in the back seat supposed to do when the pilot's jumping up and down screaming and pitching a little fit up front? Well, and I told Austin, I said, I've got to land the airplane. You and Mom don't know how to fly. I said, I'm in charge of everybody's life right now. And you've got to be mentally prepared for that. These SEAL teams and these tier one operators, they realize that each person is responsible for the whole team's life.
That's exactly right.
They don't operate as an individual.
No.
They operate as a team.
As a unit.
And they were saying that they were basically super soldiers when they came in. Now, they had other things going on. They probably had active denial systems. They probably had a lot of noise.
Well, that's why I brought that up. My theory was, because I asked Jeff about it, and he said couldn't confirm what was active denial, but it appeared it was when I asked him. Because if you pull up here, what does the one guy say? This is just my speculation off of it. He said it seemed like each soldier was firing 300 rounds a minute. We couldn't do anything. We had no chance. That's Delta. And that's Overwatch is what that is. But one part he said at one point they launched something. I don't know how to describe it. He says, but it was a very intense sound wave. Suddenly I felt like my head was about to explode from inside. I started bleeding from my nose and vomiting blood. That sounds like either a sonic boom, which they may have come over and did a low flyover for the F-35s. They said they did that. He said they came in with F-35s.
Here's why I don't think they put a boom down, because it's going to affect the Tier 1 operators, too.
That's true.
Yeah, I think they probably had some type of directional impulse.
That's what I thought. Same thing I thought.
Well, now remember, though, if you start watching it, if you read this, you know, it could be that this is hyperbole trying to scare other countries.
That's right.
They're not
scare other countries. No. They know this operation was nasty.
No, not at all. Those 20 men without a single casualty killed hundreds of us. Now, we don't know if that's true or not. Yeah. We had no way to compete with their technology, with their weapons. I swear, I've never seen anything like it. We couldn't even stand up after that sonic weapon or whatever it was. And he goes, well, how do you think the rest of the region would think twice about confronting the Americans? He goes, without a doubt. I'm sending a warning to anyone who thinks they can fight the United States. They have no idea what they're capable of. After what I saw, I never want to be on the other side of that again. They're not to be messed with. Now, this is probably true.
It's fantastic psychological warfare.
But it's just psychological warfare.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, now if you're in Greenland and you're reading this, you're going, that sucks. I don't want to deal with this. Okay, I'm a weekend warrior. I don't want to deal with this at all.
Yeah, now we got Delta coming with F-35s and active denial systems.
Well, no, because remember, I've told you guys this before. We're 500 years ahead in the technology that we have.
There will never be full disclosure of what actually happened down there. There will never be, as far as what we really did.
So are our guys the best of the world? Yeah.
And I mean, you got to think about it. We have a $1 trillion Pentagon budget. Oh, and then on top of that now, if you guys have saw this, Trump has now said this year we're putting together a $1.5 trillion defense budget. He wants the budget to go 50% with the Pentagon, as if we don't have enough. Now, here's the issue I have with this. I love military weaponry. I love some of the advanced systems we have. I left F-35. Here's the problem that I have. Pentagon fails financial audit for 8th year in a row. That was for this year.
We got some kind of balance, guys. Really?
Oh, Pentagon fails audit for 7th straight year in a row. That was from last year. Okay, we have the largest out-of-control spending agency, which is the Pentagon, that cannot maintain budgetary restrictions at all. We can't maintain any continuity finances with the Pentagon. That has been very clear. There's not even a rebuttal for that in Congress. They are well aware. Nobody knows where the money goes. Trillions of dollars every single year just disappear. You can't figure out. So now we're going to give them a $500 billion increase in their budgetary expenditures this year. There's something else going on with that.
The super soldier program, it takes some money to maintain.
It does, but not $500 billion.
Yeah, how much of mRNA shots were part of that program with DARPA, trying to figure out how much they can actually change a person's DNA?
Well, you saw that with Bourne Ultimatum, that last one. There's a lot of stuff in that film that has some accuracy behind it.
Oh, by the way, people in Minneapolis are saying we won't stop until heads drop like 1793, in which they decapitated literally thousands and thousands of people. Tens of thousands take to the streets of Minneapolis after the ICE shooting. So are they setting us up for a civil war, Austin?
Oh, they might be. I don't know how far it's going to go with some of these clowns. Or were they going to run up everybody with, bubble machines and start throwing stuff at them? No, I'm being serious. You get these people that want to run around. No, I'm not. No, this is a very open show. I'm not cussing.
Okay.
No, I mean, do you want to run around in a car and act like you're a bad A and go threaten some federal agents while they're pulling out some of the worst people in existence? I mean, these guys that have been, some of them have been arrested, the most disturbing list I've ever seen. There's one in here. They're talking about some of these guys that have been pulled out of Minneapolis who were supposed to be deported in 2016, 2018, 2020. They're running around basically sex offenders, domestic violence, murder charges, sexual assault, basically sexual assault on a minor, sexual assault on children. Some of the individuals that are being pulled out of there, thousands of them, out of Minnesota, is the most disturbing list anybody's ever seen, including convicted child rapists, convicted killers, most of deportation orders going back a decade. That's what a lot of people are failing to realize. The majority of these targeted ICE raids are against people that have already supposed to be deported a decade ago for violent offenders. So where is your line? What are you fighting? A lot of these people that run around trying to do this and start arguing.
You know, it's so funny. We say all this stuff, and for those of you who are listening to the live show, let me do a little caveat here. I was at one of these rallies in D.C. about 7-8 years ago when they actually had about 5,000 people show up to protest the neo-Nazis.
Yeah.
I was there.
You were there.
We were scheduled to go to Europe that week with Harrison. And Harrison basically did not realize his passport had expired the day before we left. So we canceled the trip to Europe, and we ended up going to D.C. When we got to D.C., we basically were walking around this group of weirdos, and these women actually had they actually had vagina hats on.
I told you I wasn't making it up.
No. I've got a call. And so what the and you're like, you're kidding.
Bizarre people.
It was bizarre. And they're running around and they're wearing these weird hats, these weird things. And then there's one lady there who's Jewish. And she's quoting stuff that's not even in the Bible. And then she's quoting a new verse out of the New Testament. And she's got a big sign up. And I said to her, it was like Jews for something or another. And I said to her, you know, you do realize you're quoting New Testament here. And she goes, what does that mean? And she had no idea what she's even quoting. And it was so strange because it was like a whole group of weirdos and nuts and just strange, strange people that were walking around. And, you know, what Austin is saying here and what is the truth, they may have some paid provocateurs that are basically, they know how to handle weapons. But the vast majority of the people that are the liberals, they have no idea of what's out there and what they would be facing if they wanted to have tens of thousands of heads drop like in 1793.
That's my point.
And that they have no idea. You got a country with hundreds of millions of guns and a whole bunch of people knowing how to use them. You can't start. Perfect example. Years ago with the Black Lives Matter protest, they decided they were coming to Auburndale.
This is a fact.
This happened. Now, let me just give you a perfect example. And they decided they were going to come in here and basically stage a riot in Auburndale. And basically, Grady Judd got on the TV, our sheriff, love Grady Judd, good friend, and said to all of us, if they come into your home and they break in to rob, kill, steal, or destroy, and I'm paraphrasing him now, or to burn you or loot you, he says, you take your shotgun and you blow them back out of your house and you will not be charged. That's the sheriff telling us this. Okay. Well, the morning before they were supposed to come in, they had a full canine assault team in the park where they were coming.
Well, they were just training. They picked Auburndale Park to train in.
Which they've never done before.
And all of a sudden
now we have a whole bunch of people show up. And,
with buses, I might add you.
No.
They came in with stinking buses.
No, but so they get off the buses, and there's a whole bunch of people already standing around, fully armed, by the way, and the guys just got back on the bus. They just left.
They had their protest as far as in downtown. For about an hour, I was down there, watched it with a whole lot of other people.
And they got back on the bus.
A whole lot of other people. Because what happened, there's a strip in downtown on Main Street, and it's got all these small little buildings. We got a little arcade. There's like a tanning place. There's a realtor place.
Great town.
And it's all old school Auburndale. I mean, the buildings are all
120
years old from Auburndale. And so we had talked to a lot of people and business owners down there. One of them I knew. And I said, you know what? We're just all going to kind of mosey our way down to downtown Auburndale today. Bunch of buddies. And we were all armed, concealed, of course. I wasn't trying to agitate anybody. And one of the guys I knew, he had a big jacket on, you know, and he was legally carrying an AR pistol on his jacket. Just being honest with you, it wasn't me. It was one of my buddies. And we all had to, basically, we talked to each other and said, listen, there's none of us are going to be direct action at all. Zero. Do not draw. Do not engage. Do not do anything unless you fear your life is in danger or somebody else is. We're here to supervise and watch. That is it. Long ago, the sheriff's department showed up. We told the sheriff's department. Said, listen, Auburndale isn't going to get burned down. Because remember, at this point in time, they had burned down almost 140 cities.
Then burned down. They started fires. That's right.
Started fires. Burnt down buildings. Burnt down cities. Started fires in buildings across the entire country. And so I said, you know what? That's not going to happen in Auburndale. Sheriff's Department says it's not going to happen in Auburndale. So after we were there and they saw the presence, law enforcement and civilian, they had their little protest in the park for about an hour. They all got back on their buses. Now, my question was this. Who is paying to rent those buses for the day?
Who is paying for the fuel?
Who's paying for the fuel? Who's paying for the driver? You rent a 50-person passenger bus for the day. I can tell you right now, it's not cheap. They're about $1,000 a day plus. Mm-hmm. Who's paying for that? Oh, that's right. Find out the BLM money laundering scheme that they did now with tens of millions of dollars that can't be accounted for. Mm-hmm. Now they're all
they're buying mansions.
Yeah, Kroger like four houses. I can digress, but that's what you see now.
But remember, Auburndale is just a microcosm.
That's exactly right.
And there's 1,000 Auburndales all over the country.
That's exactly right.
Okay, and there's just some of us that aren't going to be victims. You know, you walk. Yeah, you're so funny. I'll have my girlfriend. We'll be walking down the street. You know, in Ybor City. Right. This is in Tampa. This is like one of those places. You don't want to go there at night. Even I won't go there at night. And I'm walking down. She goes, well, is it safe? And I say to her, I don't give off the energy of a victim.
No.
You know, and see, when you got to, there's an old song out, you know, by the Four Seasons. It was like, walk like a man. Okay. And, you know, it's basically a, you know, tribute to men, boys that are becoming men. And, you know, and you see all these, forgive me, gay guys, but you don't walk like men. All right. Most of you don't. You know, you kind of walk like a gay guy and you kind of walk like a victim. And I'm not trying to pick on you, but there's a lot of guys that are betas that walk like victims. And when you don't walk like a victim, you usually don't become a victim because these predators that are out there that are attacking people, whether they're men or females or women or gays or straights or whatever, they want to see what type of energy field you're putting off. We go back to the energy and the quantum mechanics of this. And if you don't have the energy field of a victim, chances are they're not going to meet you. Like I know about half the homeless people down there in Ybor City. And I'm always waving at them, saying hi to them, giving a dollar here, a dollar there, whatever. And they all leave me alone.
Now, there's a caveat to that.
Here we go. Get ready.
There's certain places and certain times and places that
don't go.
Not to engage.
That's what I said. Don't go there at night.
You've got to fight your battles, certainly. If you know that almost every weekend there's a shooting in a place, you know that there's going to be violent crime
at night.
Area at night at 1 o'clock in the morning when the bar lets out, that somebody's getting in a fight, somebody's getting shot. It's probably best to avoid those areas. Nothing good happens after midnight. And so you got to kind of look at that standpoint of it as well when you're making decisions. Am I normally one to go down to downtown Auburn and walk around and be patrol? Absolutely not. Law enforcement's got their job. They get paid for it. However, that was something that I was not going to back off of because my town was not going to get fired.
Well, you know, the thing about it is I used to always tell you this, and I taught you that line. There's nothing good happens after
really
midnight.
And you learn it once you get old enough. You realize, you know, enough fights, enough shootings, enough stabbings.
Well, you start to realize that there's a certain point in place that you don't go to. There's certain people out there, and they come out at night.
They really do. All the time.
Most of the time.
They're nocturnal.
And they're basically just predators. And they don't really care who you are because they got a group of them that are together and they're running around in gangs and they don't really think about energy fields or what you're putting out. They think about stealing stuff from you. It's like going to Italy. And forgive me if you're an Italian, but you know I'm right. And you decide you're going to go down to Naples or down really far south where the gangs are. And you're wearing a Rolex watch. Well, you're an idiot.
Yep.
I'm being blunt with you now. When you go to certain countries in Europe, you don't wear fancy jewelry. You just don't do it. You're going to get robbed. I remember years ago, I had a fancy little car I'd bought over there in Germany, and you know, we were driving around with it, and they told me, they said, don't go past Rome with that car. And I'm laughing. I'm thinking, whatever. And then I had somebody else tell me, don't go past Rome in that car south. And I had somebody else tell me, don't go. I mean, this happened like 15 times. And finally, I started asking questions. I'm like, why can't I go past Rome? Well, they will see you drive in with your fancy little car, and they will basically spot you from the highway. They'll have a spotter follow you in, and within 10 minutes, that car, if you get down to Naples or those areas near Pompeii, you're going to have the car stolen, and they're going to rob you and take your stuff because of the car. And I'm like, so after about the 15th person that had told me that, I canceled. I was going down there. I canceled the plans. I said, you know what? I'm just going to spend a couple more days in Rome and head back up north. So if you know an area is fully controlled by the mafia, if you know an area is fully controlled by gangs, whether they be black, white, Hispanic, or Puerto Rican, or whatever they are, you make sure you just certain places you don't go. I remember when I took my concealed weapons permit class many years ago. The guy was a former sheriff's officer. He said, what you have to understand is there are people out there that are so mentally ill. Now we get back to this again.
Yep.
And so crazy that they don't care who they shoot or who they gut, and they will do it for $5.
Yeah.
He goes, they're just people like that. And he says, and there's certain places you don't go. I don't remember Lynn Breidenbach used to be a spokesperson for the sheriff's department. She had a radio talk show she hosted. She's in heaven now. And I remember I asked her one time, I was, why does this stuff happen? She goes, well, people go where they shouldn't go. They hang out with people they shouldn't hang out with. If you know somebody's a known drug dealer, okay, if you know somebody's got an issue with drugs, if you know somebody hangs out with the wrong people and they're dealing with other drug dealers, there's a high probability you probably don't need to associate with them.
It's a fact.
You just got to stay away from them because they're going to bring you into their circle with their friends, and those people that you're going to associate with, they don't really care about you. They'll see you as a victim, as a mark, as a sweet duck. And people see, well, you think, well, that's kind of ridiculous. No, it's just the truth. Certain places you don't need to go. It's like I have a friend of mine. He's up in South Carolina, and he was involved in one of these militia places. He was going to this militia weekend thing every weekend, and finally he started to realize that there were a bunch of paid provocateurs in there. There were a bunch of FBI agents in there, and they started to realize they had been infiltrated, and they were trying to get them to do things they didn't want to do and be involved in things they didn't want to be involved in to be arrested, just like you saw on January the 6th. Be very, very careful who you hang out with. Make sure you know your circle of friends and you keep them close. And if you got people in that circle that have done bad things, that are still doing bad things, you probably need to stay away
from
them.
Be very cautious of the militias. I know a good friend of mine who's actually going to some of those militia groups down here in Florida, and I'm not knocking them because some of them are really good people. Some of them have really good intentions. Some are really good patriots. However, I saw with my friend very quickly a lot of the individuals that were showing up in these militia groups, exactly what you just said. They were coming up with these real weird questions, coming in and hanging out with everybody and start talking these real crazy talks. And then talking about, oh, what do you do this? What do you do this? What do you have here? What do you have here? And how much of this do you have? And how much food do you have? Bro, I don't even know you. Why in the world are you asking all these questions, everybody? Why in the world are you so engaged with everybody? Why in the world are you so curious, buddy? And that's, you know, that's the thing you got to understand. If you go to certain events or groups or meetings, whatever that may be, and you start having individuals in those groups that start acting real weird, start asking real weird questions. Remember the old CIA spook mantra? It's admit nothing, deny everything, make counter accusations. These guys that infiltrate these groups, these FBI and these CIA, because our CIA still operates on U.S. soil, regardless of if you want to believe. They're not supposed to, unless they're basically joined with another federal agency.
Well, a lot of them have other federal agencies.
That's how they always do it. CIA just couples up with FBI. They know how to get around the law books on it. And you got other groups with ATF, with DEA, all these different groups, and many of them are heavily compromised. They don't care about lying. It's well open and known. They can lie anytime they want.
It's like massage.
It's massage. They can do anything they want.
Well, police officers lie. They're told they can lie to gain information.
Right, exactly. And so, again, this is what you got to understand. You got to look at everything in the broad scope of it. But when you got guys like this, you know, that are getting arrested with ICE up in Minnesota, I mean, this guy, this is conviction. I'm not even going to read all this. I mean, it's child molestation, aggravated sex offense. I mean, the whole list goes on. These are the bunch of the ones that just got arrested last week up in Minnesota. And, I mean, a lot of these guys had removal orders all the way back from 2012, all the way from basically, you know, sexual assault on children. These guys are the worst of the worst, and that's what a lot of them are going for. And then, ironically, here, you'll love this. This is a funny, ironic thing. Minnesota's most notorious Somalian daycare center fraud scandal abruptly shuts down and closes its doors.
It didn't have anybody going to it anyhow.
Shuts down. No more kids here. Nothing to see. Oh, by the way, they asked them for their paperwork. They got robbed. All the paperwork's gone.
I remember years ago, I had a friend of mine. He had a business, and the secretary stole money from him.
Yeah. Okay?
And then she had basically had a storage facility. It had been robbed.
Oh, yeah.
All his money.
Everything's robbed.
Everything's robbed. And, you know.
Oh, we had a fire.
And so speaking about robbing people, here, this is interesting. Secretary Rollins says the USDA is now stopping Minnesota's handout to thieves over fraud allegations. Enough is enough. U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke Rollins warned Minnesota Democratic leaders on Friday their handouts to thieves are at an end. Her announcement accompanied news about rampant fraud of the state. In social media posts, Rollins said President Trump's administration uncovered massive fraud, and now they're stopping the money. Enough is enough. The Trump administration has uncovered massive amounts of money. Well, here's the problem. You got this federal funding going into Minnesota.
Yep.
You understand where this is going? Here?
Yeah, exactly.
Let's heat up the cauldron. Now we're going to have a bunch of people that are already on the edge of being, you know, basically, you know, anarchists, and now they're given money to feed their families. Now all of a sudden the money stops, and now all of a sudden it's like they stopped our money. Well, it was illegal. We don't care. How do we feed the family now? And now we create a cauldron that starts to boil over. People become hungry. When people are hungry, they start doing stuff they wouldn't have normally done.
Well, it's tied into what I was just talking about. And I'm not alleging that this girl that got shot was involved in any of this. But I'm saying, do you know how easy it is when you start having daycares that receive millions of dollars a year with nobody there? How easy it is to funnel that money into these groups that they've done now? Ironically, this area with all these groups that nobody had any kids at, suddenly they shut down. The Quality Learning Center is not the first daycare under scrutiny for engaging in cover-up. Last month, another smaller run daycare suspected for fraud conveniently also claimed it had been burglarized. Thieves broke in. They didn't take any of the cash electronics. Instead, they made off with all the employment and child enrollment records.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Just they didn't steal anything else. They stole the enrollment records.
Well, no, they had the
enrollment records that didn't exist.
Yeah, but that's what you do. It disappeared. You know, right now they're saying they uncovered $110 million in one day of fraud in Minnesota. You know, when you know Pablo Escobar was running his big cocaine thing, he was bringing in about $60 million a day. He was bigger. He was bigger than General Motors. People don't realize that. He offered to pay off the national debt of Colombia if they basically gave him, you know,
amnesty. Yeah.
I mean, this guy was...
That was like the 80s.
Yeah.
$60 million a day.
He's bigger than General Motors. And you don't realize how much this stuff, this illegal activity goes on behind the scenes with all these mafiosa groups. But you think about $110 million in one day, that's bigger than Pablo Escobar. But of course, he was doing that every day.
In the 80s.
In the 80s, yeah. You know, which is probably the equivalent of about three times that now. And so he basically was killing government officials at will because he had so much money. He gave out money to the masses. Just gave out money.
That was one thing. I watched that documentary on him, and they said that's how he managed to maintain it for so long, is the people loved him.
Yeah.
He would literally, because he grew up real poor.
He was Robin Hood.
Robin Hood. And I'm not by any means trying to put him on a pedestal because he's not a good person. But that's what he would do. He would sometimes go down to squares. They have an event. Didn't have donations. He'd come down there with literally $500,000 in cash.
Mm-hmm.
Just give it all to people. I'm donating for this child, for $500,000. But then a month later, he'd set off a car bomb to knock out an official and blow up eight kids beside it.
Mm-hmm.
So then he had to go back down and get more money. That was a violent time, man, down there.
That's a crazy.
That was crazy. Yeah,
that's when Barry Seal was involved and all the rest of it. I mean, you know, that Tom Cruise did a movie on that called American May.
Yeah.
And talked about the hundreds of the money. He was doing the same thing Tom Cruise was doing in the movie. They didn't have the places to put the cash. They were burying it in the caches.
Same with Pablo. I mean, they still have said they found certain areas on his property. Suddenly they'll hit like a 55-gallon drum under the ground. Money's all moldy. It's cash. Just hundreds. Just barrels. Just randomly find it. Farmers will be out there just like, oh, God. What do we do with this? Speaking of cash cows and drug dealers, this is an interesting story now. Where is it at here? I just had it a second ago. Cancer drugs drive nearly one-fifth of pharmaceutical sales.
Whoa.
One-fifth. You ever wonder why they seem to can't find a cure for cancer?
They don't want a cure.
It's not it's an industry, guys. It's not even a disease anymore.
They have found very good, you know, protocols, you know, using pancreatic enzymes and stuff years ago, but they can't patent it all.
There's even theories that people have said that intravenous vitamin C can help that. I'm not making any claims, but there's been theories on that.
Well, you know, the Gerson Cancer Institute said many, many years ago one of the primary causes of leukemia was basically a subclinical diagnosis of scurvy, and it was a vitamin C deficiency.
Look at this. Estimates from Statistic Market Insights, cancer drugs alone generated $217 billion last year, making oncology the largest therapeutic segment in the pharmaceutical
industry. So many reports have said also that doctors will diagnose somebody with cancer who don't have cancer because they make so much money off the chemotherapy drugs. And again, think that this doesn't happen.
Look,
really? It happens.
Oncology drugs, 18% of market revenue. Anti-diabetic drugs, 7%. Immunosuppressants, 5%. Vaccines, 5%. Vaccines are a monster moneymaker, and they're only a quarter of oncology drugs.
That's crazy. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, like I said, legal drug dealers, maybe. That's how they switched on to now. And now also, too, speaking of money, this is interesting. GM's multi-billion dollar EV loss is even worse than Ford.
Whoa.
Automakers are learning hard. The EVs still have a long way to go. They're saying that Ford announced a whopping $5.1 billion loss in 2024. GM took a $6 billion hit.
That's a lot of money.
Now, what I was reading about, this is interesting. Is it a lot of the shareholders and the board members, why they went along with this is because they actually started to project their revenue off EV subsidies from the federal government. That started to become their business model. There was so much money getting fed into the market with that EV Green Deal that Biden continued to push that the automakers really thought that was the new thing.
Well, you know, it's so funny. The other day I have a solar system here. You know, I got it when they gave us huge subsidies through, you know, Tampa Electric and through the federal government many years ago.
but the maintenance on the system doesn't cash flow.
Right.
I've had to have a new terminal put in. That was like another $4,000 or $5,000. I have had panels replaced. That was thousands of dollars more. And the production of the electricity has gone down as the system ages. And if it had not been subsidized by the federal government, it never would have produced the amount of money from energy that you're supposed to get from it.
They gave subsidy through TECO, didn't they?
They did, yeah. And the crazy part about it is the same thing with the doggone. I asked him. I said, "How's the EV business doing?" He goes, "Oh, it's dead."
Oh,
he goes, we don't even install anymore. He said, all we do is basically repair stuff. And he goes, people are getting rid of their systems because they don't want to have to maintain them. That's the same thing the cars did.
That's exactly what the cars are doing now. And they're depreciating faster than you can sell them.
Well, the same thing happens with the EV systems that people put in, you know, the systems in their houses, you know, the solar panels. They simply don't cash flow. Period. And then TECO gives you like 10% back on the money you're producing for electricity versus what they would charge you for
the
electricity.
Well, that's where the big scam is.
Yeah.
If you actually got back the money you were producing,
yeah,
and TECO wasn't such a greedy little love of money, big free air breather, because that's what they are. They're, when you deal with these electric companies, these electrical grids, and they turn into monopolies, and they can't be regulated, they just start charging and charging and charging, and they're increasing the rate of charges, 10%, 20%, 30% increase, which they've done to us. But you notice the money they give you back hasn't increased the way that they're charging.
Oh, by the way, shocking studies now linking COVID jabs, which is basically one of the 5% of the vaccines, back to cancers by mysterious cyber attack. They're basically linking now the COVID jabs and other types of vaccines are causing cancer. Isn't it interesting? The 18% of the market for the cancer oncology drugs is funding and feeding the other 5% through the jabs back and forth.
Yeah,
think about that for a second. It's reciprocal. They feed each other.
Almost like it was planned that way.
Oh, imagine that.
Imagine
that. A global review examining reported cases of cancer following COVID vaccination was published earlier this month, just as the medical journal hosting it was hit by a cyber attack and has since taken the site offline. The study appeared in the peer-reviewed journal OncoTarget on January the 3rd and was authored by cancer researchers from Tufts University. In a review, researchers analyzed 69 previous published articles and studies and case reports from around the world, identifying 333 instances in which cancer was nearly diagnosed or rapidly worsened within a few weeks after COVID vaccine, and the study was pulled down immediately. Think about that for a second. These two industries are feeding each other. See, the mafioso groups, they can't make enough money selling you heroin. They got to sell you vaccines.
Well, because the vast majority of people aren't going to take heroin.
Mm-mm.
The vast majority of people won't do it. So how do you do it? You do it through a doctor's office. You do it through a legal drug dealer. You do it through legal pharmaceuticals. It's legal, guys. It's healthy for you. Look what they did with Adderall. Look what they do with OxyContin.
It's legal. These diabetic drugs are being used for loss.
Yeah.
They have all kinds of side effects.
Yeah.
Well, do you think about it for a second? If you can feed your own industry by another industry, you can perpetuate the industry and make more money.
Keep the revenue growing.
If you want to really get people fat, you feed them high fructose corn syrup and the doggone everything you eat, causing all kinds of health problems.
And then you give them a shot to help lose the weight.
So you own the high fructose corn supplement companies, and you own the shot companies, and you feed your own perpetual marketing scheme. You keep people sick, so you make more money.
You give them a drug to lose weight. That drug now has been linked to pancreatic cancer, thyroid cancer. Yeah. Then you give them the cancer drug that feeds more money into it.
18% of this money coming in now is from drugs for cancer treatment. Within 5 to 10 years, it'll be 30 to 35%. Watch it. Because we're killing everybody with this. Oh, by the way, I know we're almost out of time. Hey, I love you guys, and I appreciate you. Just keep your hearts and minds in Christ. Take your antioxidants. Take your quercetin.
I know a lot of people ask me right now, as far as a lot of people are getting little head colds and stuff.
A lot.
The immune system support kit, incredible. Vitamin C, D3, and zinc. Best formula we have. Very simplistic. I got on sale for like $89. That's 3 bottles. Over a month supply. Longer than that, too, if you just keep a base dose on it. A lot of kits we have like this on the website. Keep your immune system strong and running with everybody getting sick right now, especially kids.
And see, we're trying to keep you healthy.
Yeah.
But these guys,
keep you out of the doctor's office.
They're trying to keep you sick. Think about the difference here between...
There's no repeat business on healthy people.
No.
Because they stay healthy. You guys take this up, you stay healthy. You call me up a little later, you get a couple more supplements. The drugs.
Oh, my God.
You think $89 expensive?
If you don't spend $5,000 this month, you're going to die.
Wow.
Okay, there's a thought. Well, I got to find $5,000. I don't want to die.
Oh, I'm going to put my credit card and charge 30% interest.
I'm going to finance my house again. I'm going to repay everything off. I'm going to do everything.
How about I just avoid all that?
80% of the medical cost of a person is like the last 3 months keeping them alive of their life. That's true.
So keep your body strong. Keep your body resilient. Keep your body's natural defense up and where it needs to be. Anything you need, healthmasters.com. Be sure to check out the bestsellers. Thank you for the continued reviews. I'm getting a lot of reviews on the stuff. Make sure you give me reviews on here. It's all I ask you guys so everybody can see what these products are doing for you. I love keeping people strong and healthy. If you need anything, healthmasters.com. Have a fantastic evening. Got a bunch of health articles for you guys to I didn't get to today. And we'll talk to you tomorrow as always.
Got to pray for you guys on church. I went on Saturday night this week. And got to go to the altar and actually spend a little bit of time praying for you guys. Thank you for your prayers for us. I love you guys so very, very much. And I'm so blessed to be part of your family. Yes. Thank you for all the great emails and all those great phone calls and all the great stuff that you send me. Ted.Brower@yahoo.com is the email address. Please send me nice stuff. And always remember, Jesus is the reason for everything. And he holds the whole planet together. Love you guys. We'll talk to you tomorrow.